I appreciate you tuning in to this live broadcast of my message today for Presbyterian Church of the Covenant in Greensboro, North Carolina. You know, when the section made the decision to suspend services for a couple of weeks, I would have said on that day that we were doing it out of an abundance of caution, and only a few days have passed at this point. I think I have to say that it's out of an appropriate amount of precaution. So we appreciate your understanding, changing venues, and this way of going about talking about our message for the church. I did consider whether or not I wanted to do a message that handled spirituality, faith, and the viral crisis that we are facing, and realized a lot of folks would be doing that. As a matter of fact, I would recommend, if you're interested in a message about that, to check out William Barber, the Reverend Dr. William Barber's webpage or Facebook page. He's just recently done a live broadcast entitled Spiritual Virtues in the Time of a Viral Crisis. I would recommend that to you. For our message today, I'm going to be talking about the relationship between religion and racism. There are a couple of events that were planned for the next 2 weeks at our church, and we're in the process of deciding whether to hold the last one, although I'm pretty sure that we might just need to postpone them. And so I felt like this was an important issue for us to be talking about now. So I'm going to continue with the message that I was planning on. I do invite you, as you're listening, if you want to indicate where you're listening from in the comment section, or if you're a member of the church, say hey to the other members during this time of intentional isolation. I would encourage us all to stay in contact with each other. Community is important, and I think we need to continue to make contact with each other, whether it's a phone call or online, just checking in with each other, making sure that we're all okay. Today's message is entitled, Racism's Religious Reinforcement. So, folks are starting to receive their census questionnaires, and it happens it happens every 10 years in the U.S., and in order to answer question number 6, you have to, indicate your race. When you were born, if you were born in the United States, in order to fill out the birth certificate completely, there was a space where you were required to indicate your race. Here in North Carolina, all kindergarten through 12th grade classes at public schools are canceled, at least for the next 2 weeks. And all of those kids, when they were enrolled at those schools, and at schools throughout the U.S., At some point in that enrollment process, they had to, indicate their race. Every public school in the nation is required by law to keep track of academic performance by race. If you refuse to indicate your child's race, the school will actually typically just go ahead and do it for you. And many of our colleges at this point now have gone to online classes for the rest of the semester, and those folks who fill out applications to those schools, they were asked to indicate their race. And while it is illegal for corporations, governments, many other institutions to discriminate on the basis of race, statistically speaking, your race plays a role when you're looking for a job, seeking a neighborhood in which to live, attempting to sell a house, expressing a public opinion, getting an education, as we've heard, for yourself or your children, interacting with police, defending yourself in court, even facing the death penalty. The list goes on and on. The bottom line is that race will impact you in more ways than we tend to think about. You see, like it or not, that's just the reality. It's just the reality race plays in our life. Race plays a profound role in all aspects of the United States. And when you stop to think about it, that's absolutely astounding, considering that race, at least biologically speaking, doesn't really exist. You see, for hundreds of years, scientists assumed race was a biological reality because people look different to the naked eye. Different skin color, different hair texture, different facial features. There must be different races. But literally hundreds of scientific studies in the last 40-some years have demonstrated that, you know, there is no significant difference genetically between human beings, regardless of differences in skin color, hair, facial structure. Yet, here we are, living in a nation where events like what happened in Charlottesville a few years ago continue to happen on varying scales, and currently our government and a whole segment of society seem like they are more than ready and willing to have another almost civil war, all for the sake of something that biologically simply isn't a reality. On my most cynical days, it makes me wonder evolution maybe quit working at some point. Well, what it really makes me wonder is, how is there so much support for this kind of thing? What piece of our society continues to push and support such a backwards way of thinking? Well, this may not be the answer, but I think it's one of the answers. A few years ago, an analysis led by Wendy Wood, the provost professor of psychology and business at the USC College and the USC Marshall School of Business, it found a positive correlation between religiosity and racial bias. But is religion really the problem here, or is it something else? Well, the analysis looked at data from 55 studies on religion and racism in America, dating all the way back to the Civil Rights Act. And combined, the studies included more than 22,000 participants. Mostly, they were white Protestants. Now, that's important, Protestant. Much of the current support for our racially based government comes from the more conservative evangelical Christian movement, not the Protestant. So this was the more moderate group of people that they studied. As the study reports, quote, "A meta-analytic review of past research evaluated the link between religiosity and racism. And in the United States, since the Civil Rights Act, religious racism partly reflects intergroup dynamics. That is, a strong religious in-group identity was associated with the derogation of racial out-groups. Other races might be treated as out-groups because religion, well, is practiced largely within race. And because different others appear to be in competition for resources. And in addition," it went on to say, "religious racism is tied to basic life values of social conformity and respect for tradition." And they ultimately said in their testing, only religious agnostics were racially tolerant as a whole. Recognize here that the study did not find that religion causes racism. Its finding says that religion is fertile soil for those who have tendencies towards racism. Progressive Christian author Anne Lamott puts it this way: "You can safely say that you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates the same people that you do." Or as I once put it, if your religion doesn't challenge you to care for people you might otherwise be dismissive of, and instead reinforces your negative feelings about them, you don't have a religion. You have a formalized structure for institutionalizing your biases. Basically, When it isn't practiced with intelligence and compassion, religion can easily be used as an authoritative confirmation of our biases. Without the basic humanistic values of critical thinking and the innate value of human life, perverting information to suit personal prejudices is far too easy. And now add to it the dogmatic environment of most churches, and it can be the sort of perfect petri dish for growing cultures of racism. Putting racism into the hands of God also, well, makes life easier on you when you're confronted with social injustices. If you can blame a group's oppression on the retribution of an angry God or some inherent deficiency, then you really not only have no responsibility in it, but you'd be foolish in that scenario to go against God. Not only that, you don't have to feel bad about the privileges that are given to you when you choose not to extend those same privileges to people you believe have already been judged by God. The harsh reality is that race and religion in America go hand in hand. The reality of race and religion in America is that religion has become a cover for racism. We all like to think that the idea of separate but equal is something from a bygone era, that segregated lunch counters, race-divided bathrooms, signs reading whites only are concepts that died out in America decades ago, except they're not. A public religion research institute survey found that 10% of Americans believe that business owners should be able to refuse to serve black people if they see that as a violation of their religious beliefs. Men were actually more likely to agree with it than women, and Catholics slightly more likely than Protestants. Now, 10% of the population, it may not seem like a lot, but in the U.S., that calculates to about 32 million people. It also points to how racism and the concept of segregation are sadly still alive, and well, some after 50 some years after Jim Crow, it thrives. Yes, in the past decades, maybe five decades since the peak of the civil rights movement, some racial policies have changed. For example, workplace discrimination has been outlawed. But let's never forget that doesn't mean prejudice has disappeared, because now it's just frequently practiced in somewhat less obvious ways. As I've said, if your religion doesn't challenge you to care for people you might otherwise be dismissive of, and instead it reinforces your negative feelings about them, you don't have a religion. You have a formalized structure for institutionalizing your biases. You can wrap the law around it in any way that you want. You can call it religious freedom, freedom of speech, whatever you want. No matter what you call it, it remains morally repugnant and devoid of any God that I ever care to worship. There is no space in a healthy spiritual community for racism. Let me say it again, maybe this time more clearly. There is no space in a healthy spiritual community for racism, or for that matter, anything that pits one group over another. That kind of thinking, that kind of acting stands over and against everything that can spiritually grow a person or a community. That kind of thinking plays to the lowest forms of human pettiness and uses religion as a weapon rather than a bomb. It is a bastardization of spirituality and must be actively resisted at every turn and cast out like the demon that it is. It doesn't mean that we stop seeking to care for those who practice that way. That would simply put us in a similar place of denying people for being different than us. But it does not mean to sit silently by as it's being practiced. It does mean actively resisting it in our churches and in our communities. It's time for racism's religious cover to end. We must call it out every time we see it. We must call it out when we see it being done in the name of God. We must insist that our representatives stop supporting it with discriminating religious freedom laws. We must persist in standing up to hate at every turn and instead extend grace, acceptance, and love. Thank you for tuning in. I encourage you to continue practicing good social distancing when you are out with others. Wash your hands with soap, and I will see you next week.